That shadow there is not my height. It's just where it's because of where the sun is coming from. And it's casting, and I'm not a flat person. The shadow is flat on the wall. That's the way it is. But then from this shadow, you can see that I have two hands and my hands are moving. Alright? You can easily say that. You can detect that I have a head. And you can see part of my ear depending on how I turn. But you cannot identify me when you see me really because you saw my shadow. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is the way the principle of types are. Anytime God gives a type, there is always a limitation to what the thing is typing. Good example. Jesus was called the lion of the tribe of Judah. You and I know he's not a lion. He's not a lion. He doesn't have four legs. You are getting what I'm trying to say? Jesus will tell you, be wise as serpents. At the same time, be harmless as doves. How can you be a serpent and a dove at the same time? Is it possible? But it is practical here because you take a bit of the serpent and take a bit of the dove. You are neither a serpent nor are you a dove. So, harmlessness is in the dove. So be harmless like the dove. Be wise as serpents. But serpents are harmful. So don't don't grab that side of the type. Are you getting my point? And there is a simple way to define the limits of the type in the scriptures. You know the limit? Whatever it says, don't use anyone beyond the one it has said. If it said, be harmless as doves, don't behave like the dove any other way apart from being harmless. If it said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Who, not having a head or this, prepares his food in summer? Make sure that you are diligent also, period. Don't move around in circles like ants. Ants are very, very senseless beings. Do you get my point? The only thing that God gave them to type for you is what? Diligence. Period. Have you ever seen God setting up a thing without a head? What I mean is that there must always be a head. So they didn't have a head and they behaved. But that's not God's idea. But in the area of diligence, copy the ants. Are you getting me? Ants in my house, I trouble. Don't go and trouble somebody else. If I see ants in my house, they annoy me. Don't go and be harassing somebody in his house. That is not a good one of ants. What I'm saying is that the principle of types is limited to what? What is stated. So when we're talking about sowing and reaping, it is a fact that what you sow, you will reap. But then there are areas we carry to an extreme. Maybe I should leave this for another time. Well, let me just keep talking, okay? Let me just keep talking. Like to tell you that, let's, for example, talk about the issue of motive. God said, I, the Lord, I test the heart. Am I right? It's there in the Bible. I think, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. It says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give each man according to his ways. According to the results of his deeds. That is, I first look into his heart. I know why he's doing what he's doing. The reason he's doing them. So if somebody is giving just because he wants to get, what does that tell you? God knows. And as far as God is concerned, he has not given anything. He said, behold, God is not mocked. That is, you have to understand, you can't fool God. So look, that's why I don't understand when people start saying some things like, somebody said, pray for me. Say, pray, you don't need prayer. Go and drop a seed. That when you sow, I was watching a world-renowned man of God say it. I went somewhere, they told him to pray that they needed money. He said, no. Supplies don't answer to the principle of praying. Supplies, it answers to seed. I shook my head. I said, see? He said, you have not because you ask not. Is that not clear that supplies answers to praying? He said, no. If you want to have, you got to sow. I said, this bro. I shook my head. That is where we carry the thing beyond what the Lord was saying on the principle of seed and harvest. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Supplies answers for goodness sake to praying. Whatever you shall ask. Is that not what he said? You have not because you ask not. I mean, come on. When you ask, you receive. He said, ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. When Jabez prayed and God increased him, what did he sow? He just knelt down and prayed. Somebody comes, open his mouth and says, supplies don't answer to prayer, they answer to seed. I said, seed you sow for like that, don't ever germinate. They die. That means they die permanently. Not that they die and then resurrect. That one dies permanently. Because God is not mocked. He looks at your heart when you are sowing seed. We'll talk about the principle of sowing properly. But let me just say something. That you see, when you are talking about sowing and reaping, it's like everything that goes on must come down. It's a fact of life. In fact, when you start tying your seed to a harvest, when you are killing the seed, if you have just dropped the seed and not worry about it, because you see, like I told you, sowing and reaping is a type of giving and receiving. They are never absolutely accurate in the same thing. Let me give you an example. If I sow corn, what will I reap? I'll reap corn. Oh, very good. So Christians misunderstand and say, if you sow dollar, you reap dollar. Meanwhile, it doesn't work like that. What did Solomon sow when he reaped plenty of wealth? He just asked God, give me wisdom. God saw the concern he had for the people and for fulfilling his ministry. Based upon that, God gave him an abundance. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you getting my point? Let me tell you something about mercy. Mercy is a spiritual thing. So if you use the type properly in the realm of the spirit, it might be correct. If you show mercy, you receive mercy. But you can show mercy by giving a hungry man money to buy food. Then you receive mercy in being delivered from death. Don't tell me what you sow, you reap, literally. You are carrying the type too far when you do it like that. So we used to, you know, when we were in school, brethren do all kinds of things. You want a Big Dick's Bible, you go and buy a Gideon's Bible and give to somebody. And when I sow, I will reap. And my reap, God will just give a 100 Gideon's Bible if you want to leave. No, it's true. If you want to use it as literally as you are carrying it. Like one of my friends will say, I don't have a car yet, but I have a spare tire. So you go and carry a spare tire and sow to somebody's life. No, listen. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. What works? This is how the two connect. Every time you sow a seed, you are laying up treasure in heaven. Do you understand my point? And listen, you don't lay it up because you want to make withdrawal. Do you go to a bank and deposit money because you need to take money? That is when you need money, you go and put money in the bank. Do you get my point? If you are a saving type, it's just a lifestyle. You go and drop money there. When you have money, you drop it there. Then when you need it, you go and get it. So all this one of telling you, give when you are in need, is not what God is saying. We'll see exactly what the Lord is saying. What he's saying exactly is a matter of faithfulness. Faithfulness. Let him know that he can trust you, and let him know that your life is not tied to material things. And most of the time, when you tell people, look, detach yourself from this thing by giving it, what he's trying to do is to bring faith out of them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm still trying to finish what I was saying before on treasure in heaven, right? So, because some of these things, we have to settle down and go through them line by line, so that we'll understand that when we are talking about movement of wealth in the realm of the natural, we should know that it's controlled in the spirit. And let's deliver ourselves from this poverty mentality of when I need 20 naira, I go and give 2 naira. No, that's not what God is saying. Most people who preach it like that, they don't want to collect the money first. That's their own. Do you understand my point? It's your problem whether you receive or not. But I don't think it's right. I don't think we should do that. So like I was saying, those who maintain the habit, those who understand this principle, you will know that in life, what you do constantly as part of living is to constantly lay up your treasure where? In heaven. And like I said, that treasure in heaven, treasure in whichever form must be bought. Do you get my point? And there are many ways by which you buy treasure. One, like Jesus said a number of times and we have read it today, is that when you give out of what you have to those who do not have, what you have done is that you have laid up what treasure in heaven. That is one. But there are other things. I told you to open somewhere that time. We did not read. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Remember it? Good. Now sometimes we misunderstand what he's saying. But then we should, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. For when you pray, you are not to be as a hypocrite, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. That is when men see them, that is the reward. Okay? Again, you see that, I'm very happy we even read this. You see that the same act is judged by God. Alright? Depending on the motives behind the doing of those acts. Can you see that again? You know, I've never even connected this until now. You can see here, it says, this man went to pray. But he went to do it publicly so that he can be seen by men. That is the motive for which you are doing the thing is important. So God says, see that my son, he has come to sow 1,000 naira so that I can give him back 10,000. See, I will not give him anything. He profits nothing. It's clear. Then he now went and said, how do you do yours? But you, when you pray, go into your inner room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your father who is in secret. And your father who sees in secret will repay you. Now, I want you to note something here. What does the King James say? I think it says will reward you or something like that. They will reward thee openly. Okay, good. Because there's a reason why I use that word reward. He said they have their reward in full. He said he will reward you openly or he will repay you. Notice this. He said they are praying. And that God will reward the prayer. Now, notice that he didn't say God will answer. Have you connected that? Because if he said God will answer, it's a different matter. And let me tell you something. He knew what he was saying. He was not confused as to the terminologies. He said it's a repayment. That is, that prayer was an investment. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, this person praying this prayer was praying a kind of prayer that was not for himself. Get my point? Because if he had gone to God and said, God, give me food that I might eat, and God gives him food, it's an answer. It's not a reward. That's what I call prayer with reward. I'm talking about laying treasure in heaven. It's not only buying, that's by using cash, giving out money and material things that you lay up treasure. But you can sow a seed of prayer. Do you understand my point? I will explain that in a moment. Now, because you see, he was talking in a context here. Notice that whatever prayer it is was being said publicly so that the people could gain approval. So it must be a prayer that interested those who are hearing it. Now, this is my own deduction. If you see further down in verse 10, when he was teaching them, he taught them to pray for the coming of the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Do you follow? Now, if you follow the life of Jesus, the life of John, and those of their disciples, no, they are disciples in common. Some were disciples of Jesus. The moment they pronounced him, this is the one to come. They just abandoned John and said, Master, where do you stay? And they followed him to his house. You will notice something. In their hearts, something was strong throughout. And that was the restoration of the kingdom back to Israel. Are you following me? Because when Jesus died and rose from the dead, what did they ask him? Will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel? That tells you something. These guys were waiting for it. And let me just say this. I don't know whether it's appropriate at this time, but it's flowing. So let's just say it. Okay? John the Baptist was a prophet. Am I right? He prophesied concerning the kingdom of God, the coming of it. But you are sure he didn't know what it was going to look like. I mean, I'm happy most of you know that. For those of you who don't, after he watched Jesus, you know, he said, this is the one to come. This is the Lamb of God that takes away. After identifying Jesus very well, then one day sent a message to him. Cousin J, are you the one to come? Or we are to expect another one? You're following what I'm saying? Now, if you bear it in mind, therefore, that those disciples were formerly disciples of John, then it tells me something. He was expecting a restoration of a kind of kingdom also that was tangible. My understanding is that they thought they were going to throw away Roman oppression and go back to the days of David. Do you understand my point? Now, among the things they used to pray for was to pray for the restoration of this kingdom. I hope you are following me. That's why the disciples of Jesus went to him and said, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. There was a way they prayed. If you see, you know, the way is like a school of prophets. At a point in time, the prayers became like chants. Do you understand my point? They will just recite it. Repeat those words because they are looking out for something. I'm bringing out the point here. That when he was saying, when you pray, pray in secret and your Father will give you a reward for the prayer you have prayed. Let me tell you something. God always rewards whatever it is you do for him on the earth. Anytime God wants to do something on the earth, he sends somebody. He uses somebody. And when the person has done it, he gives the person a reward. For example, he told Jeremiah, at this point, don't ask great things for yourself, because all I will be able to spare for you is your life. He said, I will give it to you as a booty, as a reward for participating with me in this endeavor. Everybody else around you will die, but because you are with me, I will spare you. That's why I said, they will be mine, says the Lord, in the days that I make up my jewels. He said, I will spare them as a man spares his own son that does what? Serves him. It's a reward. I hope you are getting my point. God always rewards what people do for him on the earth. And when he wants to do something, we'll talk about prophecy before. And that, you see, if you see the way prayer goes and prophecy, they are closely interrelated. So God wants to do something and he tells them, okay, you guys, you will begin to pray. All right? For this thing that I'm about to do. You will prophesy. Kingdom of God, come. Everybody that will prophesy according to that is saying they will have a reward. That's treasure they are laying up in heaven. If you read Revelation, you say that the angel was filling a bowl. He said, what is inside the bowl? He says, the prayer of the saints. It was not God, I'm hungry, give me food of the saints. That's not the prayer he's talking about. Why should they pour that one in a bowl? So you will die of hunger before the bowl is full. I hope you are understanding what I'm saying. So when you're talking about treasure in heaven, it's not just with cash. I'm explaining something here. Because you see people who are blessed. Most of them, you don't know why they are blessed. A lot of them, they don't even know why they are blessed. Some of them is a passion. Let me tell you something. Okay, let me see what I want to say before I tell you what I'm saying. Some of them is a passion with which they are praying a particular prayer for somebody, for an organization, for a nation, for the kingdom of God. That is what God is using to pour oil, pump crude oil out of the ground for them. Are you following what I'm saying? That is why he said, great peace have those that love you, Jerusalem. Are you getting my point? He said, pray for peace, the peace of Jerusalem. And he said, how does that scripture go again? Anyway, you understand the scripture I'm saying? He was talking about the fact that let them prosper that love you, that pray for your peace. That the person stands and is praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And, you know, some men misunderstand that scripture. That's why they came to Lagos many years ago and told Christians to face the east. That is where Jerusalem is. And pray for peace in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem, whatever. Then Nigeria will be blessed. He said, in fact, all the Lagosians were looking like, what's wrong with it? I said, come on, make the GO come bless us, Joe. That's what? You know, it was at a redeemed camp. My friend who went there, when the man was saying it, they were just looking at him like, what has that got to do with my child that is sick? I believe that pulpit likes the GO come and bless us. Now, I think it was a white man, maybe a Jew. You know, we make that mistake. People say that when you bless a Jew, God will bless you back in return. If you want to understand, go and listen to our series. Understand the new covenant. I don't want to digress into that. You will know that it's a perfect misunderstanding. Paul said this is a revelation that was kept, that nobody knew until I came. That the same God is rich unto all that call upon him. There is no difference. He said there's no longer Jew or Gentile. All are one man in Christ Jesus. That is, if I look, that means, remember what he said, you pray this prayer where? In secret. You see a brother, a sister who's having problems. You don't tell her, sister, brother, I'm praying for you. But on your own, you kneel down and say, God. God said, you have your reward. All right, so like I was saying, so what we are saying here, we are talking about prayer that nobody knows you are praying. But it's for a cause that is righteous. It's not for you. That's not what we're talking about. It builds up treasure in heaven. I was telling you, I read a book recently. That book I was telling you about that woman, Mary Kay Ash. And I was reading her life. It was just a cosmetic merchant. So my wife has the book, so I was reading it. And I picked a lot of spiritual lessons from it. The woman founded a company not to make money, but to empower women like her. She resigned from her last job after somebody she trained had been promoted over her. Somebody she taught the job and paid double her salary. Because it's a man, she was a woman. And she said, this is not fair. That if we work hard, we should be rewarded. Do you understand my point? So she's decided to found a company. A month before they were supposed to start, the husband, while trying to put some papers together for her, suddenly had a heart attack and died. She said, I lie, we are going ahead all the same. And founded a company. By the time she was dying, about almost 40 years later, she was an elderly woman, somewhere between 80 and 90s. I don't know the exact age. By that time, the company was turning over billions of dollars annually. And she's the main person that owned it. If I remain a family business. Are you getting my point? But the reason she started it was not to make money. You see, that is why a lot of people try things and they don't work. You are not trying to fill any need. You are trying to fill your pocket. And because wealth is controlled spiritually, are you following me? That's why it doesn't seem to work. The person tries everything, attends every seminar. But God said, you have not because you ask not. When you ask for wrong motives just to satisfy your own lust. That's why I don't answer you. Companies that have grown very big succeeded because they set out to meet a need. Are you getting me? I'm talking about prayer, the treasure in heaven. That this is not to fill your pocket. That's why I remove every, as I'm talking, mentally I have removed every copyright from my book. Just acknowledge the source. You can reprint it. You can decide to go and reprint it and say, I'm coming to my village. Okay, your own is too expensive. This one that I reprinted is 15 naira a copy. I will shake your hand and bless you from my bedroom. I'm not joking. Because I found out those who make impact those who God bless in this life are those who are just doing things to make an impact. I told you I read the story of Guinness. When Guinness set out to start Guinness, it was not because he wanted to start making drinks. It was because he saw all the Irishmen, his brothers, on the streets drunk. Their children were fatherless because the fathers were drunk. And he used to cry to God. And God spoke to him one day, make a drink that men will drink instead of whiskey. I told you, legend can try all he wants. The kingdom was given over to Guinness. Even their descendants, no matter how much they pervert, it will take a long time for the blessing to wear out. All of you know, you want to go and buy a pen and say, please, buy me a Bic there. Buy me a Bic. Buy me a Bic. Bic did not invent the ballpoint pen. Shaving stick, all those are things that men have to pay a lot of money for. So this man said, why can't it be very cheap? You can imagine that today you are buying a pen for 10 naira in Nigeria. Calculate that in dollars to tell you how cheap it really is. Can imagine? That's what this guy wanted to do. Why can't everybody just buy this and finish using it and throw it away? Must we guard it jealously? Now, the man who invented the pen, we have forgotten his name. Bic is the one we know because it's the number one selling writing material on the earth. You get my point? That is, they saw a need, decided to invest in people's lives, and as they were doing it, they were laying out treasure in heaven. And that treasure kept on generating treasure on the earth. Kept on generating treasure on the earth. I heard the story. I didn't read it. So let me just say, I read it, all right? Because things I didn't read directly, I like to say that. So in case I quote it wrongly. Or John D. Rockefeller, the story. You know Rockefeller? The man made so much money. The guy had a lot of money. Oil man, Standard Oil in the US, he was making money. But he was a mean businessman. He was mean. But his farm produced a lot of goods, just like that rich old fool here. And the farm was producing a lot. But he was such a mean man that I heard that when he would go to church, bodyguards used to sit around him. And then one day he took ill. I told you, treasure in heaven preserves the life of the person that owns treasure on the earth. The guy took ill and became very sick. I heard that doctors tried everything and they said, oh boy, we can't help you. You can go home and go and relax. And he was relatively still a young man, maybe in his 40s or so, or 30s, I'm not sure. So I think a minister now came to see him and they were discussing, and the man told him to start giving. You know, just start giving. So John D. Rockefeller started giving. That's why till today, Rockefeller Foundations are still there, building libraries and stuff all over the world. Okay? Start giving. So the guy started giving. He kept on giving and kept on giving until he became well. And kept on giving and kept on giving. The guy died, he was 94, 98, something like that. A fit old man when he finally died. Before, he had no treasure in heaven. He was amassing treasure on the earth. Then one day, just like God said, when you are not rich toward God, your soul will be required of you. And God started discussing about requiring his soul. Just the discussion God was having with the angels, he became ill. Because the day God would make the verdict, he would die. Then God sent an angel. Because you see, if you go and read Eli, he said that you need an angel, a messenger from God to tell you. I mean, anyway, don't let's digress too much. But if you read around Eli, Job chapter 34, when it was said that the blessing a man should have is that in the time of his troubles, that God will send an angel to tell him where he has erred. If I can find it, well, just for completeness sake, let me just... when he was saying that God speaks once, but nobody on the listens. And twice. Talk about the hair, yeah. Job 33. Read from verse 19. He will tell you, man is also chastened with pain in his bed and with unceasing complaint in his bones, so that his life loathes bread and his soul his favorite food. His flesh wastes away from sight, and his bones, which were not seen, stick out. Then his soul draws near to the pit, and his life to those who bring death. Are you seeing that? Next line. He said, if there is an angel as a mediator for him, that is a messenger, one out of 1,000, they are hardly found. That's what he's saying. What will he do to remind a man of what is right for him? That is, this is where you have erred. This is the mistake you have made. Now the product of his visit is, let him be gracious to him and say, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found the ransom. Now, I want to paraphrase this. That is, this man is erring. If you read from verse 13, in 14, say, God speaks once and twice, yet he does not notice. Then that's why God progresses to chastising him with pain in his bed. That's what happened to this man, until a messenger of God came, an angel, and showed him what was right. He not only recovered, he lived to be 90-something. Why? Because at that time, the man was laying up treasure where? In heaven. Men who become great, women who become great on this earth, their greatness, if it will survive and be a sign, that is, if you see it as a manifestation of the blessing of God, lasting for several generations, it will be because their emphasis was on laying up treasure in heaven. I said, laying up treasure in heaven, you give material things, that is true. So you pray a prayer. Look, for example, you see what something is wrong in the body of Christ, and you don't discuss it's not openly. Brethren, you know, we've been praying for 15 days now. Those of us who want to join us is a lie. That one is nonsense. But either you alone or with your group, you keep in secret and you are praying about something that you see. Could be for a nation, Nigeria. And in fact, I was going to say that earlier. That listen, if we want God to bless you in this land, on any land, not only Nigeria, there is a principle you must observe. You must always seek the good of that land. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Go and see what God told them when he was carrying them to Babylon. When you get there, seek the good of the land. Pray for its prosperity. He said, because it's when the land is prospering that I will bless you. He told them, The place I'm scattering you to, Babylon, when you get there, pray for the peace of that land. Seek the good. Pray for his prosperity. That is your only guarantee. Let me tell you what, I've always told people who talk too much nonsense and rubbish about Nigeria. Please take a visa and clear. Because if you continue like that, you can never be blessed abundantly there. God must see that your desire for the land is for his prosperity. Your desire for the land, your prophecies for the land must be for his prosperity. Based upon that, you acquire treasure in heaven. That's what he will pour upon you on the same land. If you are not seeking his prosperity, God will not bless you there. You have to understand that. Talking about different ways people lay up treasure in heaven. You pray for a people, you pray for a situation, you pray for a nation. There are people that, maybe for certain things about them, I know. They don't even know I know. But it's a burden to my soul. So every time I remember, you are getting the point I'm trying to make. Alright? Now, you understand what I'm going to say, but look, people who are getting blessed, most of them don't even know why they are getting blessed. That's why I'd rather take my instructions from the Word of God. Because the things that make for material blessing on the earth. I told you the story last time about that Mary Kay Ash woman. Who just said, okay, I will give the more. Whatever people give, I will double it. She did not know. She thought they were going to raise like $1,000. But it said it was God that told her to speak. When they raised money, it was over $100,000. I told the story a bit wrongly for you. Later, I want to confirm. It was 1 hour after she finally told them, don't worry, I will pay tomorrow. 1 hour, her phone rang. Who is it? Her son said, Mommy, this thing just happened. Anything you put your hand into turns to gold. The wells are breaking forth with oil now. So what? Your share in the first 1 month is over $100,000. It's over. She said when she took her contribution to church the next day, that she was a humble and trembling woman when she was going. That is like, she became afraid of God. That I know that what I'm experiencing, look, let me tell you, sometimes God will demonstrate to you. You yourself will know. I've told you that pride is a matter of ignorance. You don't know it's why you are proud. If you knew anything, pride would be far from your house. So when she got there, she was afraid, like, God, hey, my God. You know, that's when I talk about tithes. I find it very funny, tithes. To me, tithing as a principle is very, very, if you have understanding, is an obtuse thing. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't. You give 10% of your income to God because God doesn't own everything. If he did, you won't be negotiating with him on percentage. Men who have worked with God, it's not, you see, the mistake we make is that we think that giving to God is when you package the money and say, Pastor Banke, this is my contribution to Kingdom World Ministries. You think that I've given to God. The man who is sitting down, the woman who is sitting down trying to empower thousands and thousands of life. For your information, Mary, that their company, that Mary Kay company, currently has over 2 million women worldwide working for them. A man is sitting down and building a solid company, and all that he has in his mind is to produce a good product and produce a good life for his employees. Every hour he spends there is hour worked for God. You know, the stupidity of our current day Pentecostalism is that we have deified a building. Everything done in there is for God. If it's done outside, it's not for God. Meanwhile, the emphasis the Lord always laid in, help the fatherless, help the widow, help the poor. No. We don't lay that emphasis anymore. We put, I was talking to the brother in my church in charge of benevolence. The benevolence basket is at the gate outside. As we are leaving, that is welfare offering. I told him we will talk. I said, this is the wrongest place for it. I said, you know what is going to happen? We will see pastor. This thing must be preached from the pulpit. I said, if he gives me opportunity, I will do it. Not the one that if we want to buy something big for the church hall we are using, we will raise money from the pulpit. One is for charity and welfare. We'll go and put a basket at the door and put a notice on it. please give to the poor. But when it's something and we stand on the pulpit and be shouting, the Lord will bless you. Come and sow right now. Our gospel is imbalanced. That's why everybody comes to church. What I'm trying to say is that they come to pay, whether God will help them, you know, you come and square God, you know, mafia boss, protection money. God, that's your tithe. The reporter is your business now. I face the other side. No, that's not what God is looking for. That is, you live your life thinking about empowering other people. That's what he's saying. That the prayer we are talking about that has reward definitely was not prayed for bread. It was a simple prayer, thy kingdom come. But those who were praying for the restoration of Israel, God said, if you really want to go to your closet, let me tell you something about anything you pray fervently for. Let me explain what I'm saying. If God says judgment is coming upon Enugu and you begin to intercede against the judgment, there are times you will not succeed in the intercession. That is, God will look and say, a destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. That is, if I don't do it, it will be unrighteousness. But you know what you do? You always get your life as a booty and the life of anybody you point to. That is, you sit there, you pray, pray and say, God, when you finish, God says, oh boy, sorry. But he will tell you, however, I will send a plane for you tomorrow. You will have 7 seats. You can take one, you take 6 people with you. And of course, let me tell you what, those who the spirit of death have held on to, they won't answer you when you say, let's go. That's what happened to Noah. They won't answer you. You can say anything you want, they won't answer you. If you're a married man, you will order your wife into the plane, order your children with you, and beg your friends to come along. But because they can't see it, they will not come. And then as soon as you take off, God say, such were they in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking until the day that Noah entered the ark. That was the day. Until the day that Lot left the city. That was the day. That's the way it is. No destruction ever takes everybody. God will always mark the people he wants to save. And listen, there is an account you can create with God in heaven. What happened to Cornelius? Why did God come to his house? As an angel told him, send for Peter. He said, your arms and your good works, that was what rose up to God. The Roman that Jesus desired to go to the house and go and heal the servant, they told him, this man has been very nice to our people. Treasure in heaven. Are you getting the point I'm going to make? Now, when we have our foundation solid, we understand the reason why wealth is created upon the earth. What empowers the wealth created and what it does? Let me tell you, you can never, never, ever be poor. Ever. Because you will be sowing your seeds properly. You will be laying your treasure in the correct places. Then if you get to Rwanda, you will be blessed. You get to Australia, you will be blessed. You get to America, you will be blessed. When you know you are blessed anywhere you go, you will now settle where you want to go based upon purpose, not because of comfort. Because you know if you go to Rwanda, you are blessed anyway. If you go to Botswana, you are blessed. If you're in Nigeria, you are blessed. If you go to Australia, you are blessed. If you go to America, you are blessed. If you go to UK, you are blessed. If you get to Hungary, you are anywhere you go, you are blessed. So you will now sit down and make a choice on a blessed platform. That is, you choose because you are blessed. So this thing I want to do is best headquartered in Enugu. No, I think Accra, Ghana will be the best. You're not afraid of anything. God is protecting your life. Say, the glory of God will be your rear guard. That is when you are not looking. God is shooting. You know what I mean? Your rear guard. You're not looking. Anybody moves again, I'll be heading for your sake. You won't even know somebody died. Do you know the number of people that have died? I don't know. And they died because of me. I'm sure they must exist. A great man like me cannot be in the making and devil won't be working. It's frustration that's meeting him. That's why you see me every day. You are getting the point I'm making. By the time the people that were seeking the life of Jesus had died, he was still a young boy in Egypt. Didn't know anybody was seeking his life. You don't know. He was still a small boy in Egypt. I hope you understand my point. Therefore, as a child of God, you understand the worlds were created, were framed by the word of God. Seek the things therefore that are in heaven alone. Seek to lay up treasure in heaven alone. Well, I'm happy that the Lord has been able to bring out a few things to see how, look, there are,
When you do good to an elderly man, you are laying up. Look, and let me tell you what. One day I went to run an old people's clinic. I was an NMA. I mistakenly got into NMA Lagos, executive of NMA Lagos. It was a mistake. So one of the executive meetings, they said they had promised the old people's home there that they are going to have, they are going to send them a doctor for their clinic the next day. Their doctor had gone or something. So they said, okay, who is going to go? Who shall we send? Who will go for us? So I said, here am I, send me. Then that day I was going, there was this young chap then, I've forgotten his name now. I just escaped me. He was a Christian too. He was a house officer. He had a car. I said, boy, come, let's go and consult with old people. After grumbling, the guy followed me. When we finished that day, he said, chief, can we come back? It was free. Look, let me tell you what. Anything that is done out of liberty, that is nobody's forcing you, just do it. All this one of give 10 so that God can give you. That's why you're not enjoying to give. If you give just because you just want to give, you will know the joy in doing it. By the time we got there, the criterion for coming for that clinic is that you have to be, I think, above 60 or 65. If you are below that age, they don't allow you in. The people who were running it, who started it, you see one man there that was one of the big men sitting down. That man would probably be 80-something. They were the one that organized the clinic. And you see, just realize that the old people, a lot of them, they are alone, really. There was one woman, when she was talking with me, you know that money is not the problem. She would tell you, about 3 months ago, when I came back from London, and that's the kind of story she's telling you. And the doctor there said, I just realized that this woman's friend, all her kids are probably in London. And she's alone at home. That's why she's always ill. So I just learned that I just settle down and hear everything they want to say. About all I ever prescribed was a little bit of analgesic and a little bit of diazepam, because they never had any problem beyond that. It's always knee pain or waist pain. They were essentially here. Do you know, by the time we finished that day, that guy looked and said, chief, can't we come back? He wanted, and we're not paid a dime. But let me tell you, if the people organizing tell you, young man, God bless you. When you are old, you will never be sick. That's why people just confess. Nothing happens to support their confession. No treasure anywhere. Living for themselves alone. I hope you follow what I'm going to say. Come on, the summary of how to lay up treasure in heaven, live for others. Live to make an impact in the lives of other people. And listen, you will have treasure in heaven. Let us pray. Let's just give God thanks for, again, what He has taught us today. How He has shown us what it is that we need to do so that we'll have treasure in heaven. Let's just give Him thanks for that.